Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Come on up for the rise. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rise. Come on up for the rise tonight. La, 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 la.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we continue now with our look at the recovery process in communities across the region in the aftermath of Sandy. We've already checked in on places like Red Hook and Long Beach. We're going to turn our attention now and check in on Asbury Park at the Jersey Shore, which Bruce Springsteen sang about in the 12-12-12 concert, his other song about Asbury Park called My City of Ruins. And for every community that was devastated, like the Rockaways or Seaside Heights, there were places that, while not completely ravaged, still suffered a significant amount of damage and where the storm will leave a lasting impact regardless of the final tab. So joining us are three members of the Asbury Park community: Marilyn Schlossbach, owner of several restaurants in the area, including Langosta Lounge and Pop's Garage, both on the Asbury Park boardwalk; Dan Jacobson, publisher of the local newspaper Tri-City News and a former Democratic assemblyman in the state legislature; and Sony Augustine, senior pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Asbury Park. So welcome to all of you, and thanks so much for joining us. Hello.
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 And listeners, if you're a resident or business owner in Asbury Park or the surrounding areas, if you want to give us a quick check-in on recovery, everyone out there in Long Branch, Deal, Seabright, let us know how it's going. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, maybe even a little further north in the Highlands or further south down in Belmar, but basically residents of coastal Monmouth County, 212-433-9692. WNYC. And Marilyn, let's start with you. You own several restaurants in the area, several on the Asbury Park waterfront, as I said. City officials say $10 to $12 million worth of damage was done to the historic boardwalk. How have your businesses fared?
Well, we have one of our major businesses, which is Langosta Lounge. It's an 8,000 square foot restaurant right on the boardwalk, which is pretty devastated. All the windows got blown in, so the water came all through the space, and lots of flooding and loss of pretty much everything inside. We're just waiting for the landlords, the Medicine Marquette Group, and the city to get us back on a recovery process to rebuild. We put about 75 people out of work, have lost our entire staff pretty much, except for a few servers and bartenders, but all our executive staff has kind of moved on, either moved out of state or gone on to another position, because we don't really have answers as to when we'll reopen.
Wow. What's the biggest obstacle?
Well, the first big obstacle was the insurance claims, which are non-existent. I mean, it's a crazy process trying to get insurance claims for whether you're a homeowner or a business, and the return isn't exactly what you think it is when you buy the policy. So we're fighting on that, and, you know, the lack of funds to try and move forward. And luckily our vendors have been very positive in the situation. But, you know, as Jersey businesses, we buy a jersey. All of our inventory supplies and workers come from the state. So we're affecting so many people across the board with a shutdown.
Let me turn to Pastor Augustine. And Pastor, obviously $10 to $12 million is a lot of money if that's the total damage to Asbury Park, and we certainly don't want to minimize that, but it's not nearly as much as some of the harder hit towns like Belmar and Seaside Heights and what they're going to have to spend to rebuild their boardwalks, which were so vital to the economies. But when we were speaking to you before the show, you told one of our producers Asbury suffered less damage, but it endures a heavier burden. Could you explain that for our listeners?
I was talking about in terms of the revenue base of Asbury Park, that is not as wide as the other communities. So when you are talking about $12 million in damages in Asbury Park, it weighs more on the community than it would on another community. So in terms of comparison, when you compare Asbury Park with other places. Certainly, I am quite sure that Asbury Park is bouncing back. The community is standing together. First observation that I made is that we had no looting and no heavy, breakdown of civil order. People behave and people came out to help each other in a way that we were not really expecting. And I have word of praise for all the people who came out even the day of the hurricane to help people evacuate, to help people get to other places. And as I am a member of the Ministerial Alliance of Neptune in Asbury Park, and we have a committee, a relief committee. All the members were out in full force getting senior citizens out of their apartment when it was needed, and helping people. Mm-hmm. So we can see the resiliency. We can see that people are really coming together to make sure that that the city survives.
And if your congregation is mostly from the Haitian community of Asbury Park, what would you say the biggest need is going forward?
In Asbury, the needs that we have, I think we mostly we have in our community overcome some of the difficulties. We had to deal with the lack of electricity, lack of basic services, but in terms of damage, heard Marilyn just said it was mostly confined to the boardwalk. And we were blessed that even though we are two or three blocks from the boardwalk, we did not have a drop of water even in our basement, in the church or in the passage.
Oh, that's good to hear.
So that was a blessing. So
yes,
that's what gives us the courage to stand and feeding people. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest things I think happens in the community, even though you heard Marilyn say that her restaurant was completely in ruin, every year she holds what we call a Thanksgiving dinner on the boardwalk. And this time she had it in the church, in partnership with the church. We had people who needed food, clothes, and things like that, and housing, certainly. But overall, Asbury Park is coming back.
All right. Now, Dan Jacobson, you live on the northern side of the town, I gather, where the storm surge from the ocean combined with Deal Lake breaching its banks, causing a good deal of flooding. How did your neighborhood make out?
Actually, Brian, we were very fortunate. It was the communities on the other side of Deal Lake, particularly the village of Lock Arbor and Allenhurst, that suffered damage.
Uh-huh.
I'm about 1,000 feet up from the ocean on Deal Lake Drive, and for the first time in 20 years, I actually saw some ocean water up the street, a little bit on the lawn. But I just want to say about Asbury, I think it's very important to have the story accurate here. As Sony started to say, this city dodged a bullet, and we are very fortunate and very lucky because of it. We did not have widespread damage or destruction. We did have damage to the boardwalk. However, already some of the key boardwalk businesses have reopened. There's three key restaurants down there that are closed: Marilyn's, Langosta Lounge, obviously, as well as two other acclaimed restaurants called Cubicon and Stella Marina. But that's really it. Unfortunately, Marilyn happens to be one of our leading philanthropists and one of our key businesses. So, you know, unfortunately, she has to suffer the damage of all people. That's really what the tragedy. But I think it's important that we be accurate about Asbury. Incidentally, this morning, a New York Times reporter came down to the shore, and she basically noted how shocking the devastation was. But as she said, just as shocking is what's still standing. And that's really all of Asbury Park, except for some parts of the boardwalk. So we really dodged a bullet, and I think it actually presents some unique challenges on what happens now going forward that we have differently than everybody else.
And so let me go around one more time real quick. And Marilyn, after all this, are you or fellow business owners on the boardwalk questioning the wisdom or feasibility of rebuilding in the same location? Does the boardwalk now need to move further back from the ocean, assuming that these events are going to be more likely?
I don't think we need to move locations. I mean, I'm a beach girl. I grew up in Belmar, and I have another restaurant, Normandy Beach, which is on the Outer Barrier Island, which is evacuated, and that was my home. I'm one of a large handful of people who aren't scared to rebuild and stay. We want to live at the beach. We want to do business at the beach, so we're going to do it. How we handle the infrastructure and the utilities going forward in all of the areas on the Jersey Shore really needs some thought process. We can't be quick to jump and rebuild exactly the way we were, and we need to learn from what did make it through, what is still standing. The Asbury Park boardwalk is in great shape, and it's because they instituted some very old practices of putting these hatches on the boardwalk so that the water could rush through the hatches and not lift the boardwalk. And it helped the boardwalk survive. So there are lessons to be learned. You know, we're moving all our utilities eventually, I'm hoping sooner than later, out of our basements and not going to do storage and walk-ins and things that we mm-hmm. had done in the past for fear of flooding. So, you know, we have to learn from this and move on, but under no circumstances do I have any desire to move off of the most beautiful view I have to make my curries every day in the kitchen.
Pastor Augustine, just give us like 30 seconds on the meaning of Asbury Park to your congregation there. Is that a place of opportunity in the United States? Probably outside the city, a lot of people wouldn't think first, oh, Asbury Park, Haitian community.
Asbury Park is in our hearts because the Asbury Park, we are next to Library Park, and this land was given to the city by a founder of the church that I am serving right now. And the Methodists had always a very large following and have done a lot of work in Asbury Park community and Ocean Grove, which is next door. So Asbury Park for us is very important, and the Haitian community, a lot of them are Methodist, and the Methodists on the boardwalk on Asbury mm-hmm. Park in Ocean Grove have always been a fixture. Uh-huh. So we are happy to contribute to the renaissance of the city of Asbury Park and surrounding community.
And about that renaissance, Dan, you expressed a concern a moment ago that exactly because Asbury Park escaped the extent of damage of surrounding communities, that the storm may end up reshaping the face of the city. What do you mean, real briefly?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, Bruce Springsteen had it right the other night. I mean, there's been a renaissance triggered by the growth of an arts community and a gay community, as well as the people here who stuck it out. We now have an incredibly diverse community, young and old, rich and poor, black and white. It's a wonderfully diverse demographic. I think if the other places on the Jersey Shore don't go online next summer and all of North Jersey comes down, we're one of the few places left, and I don't know what that means. It could disturb the demographic. Asbury is a small place. Mm-hmm. It's a really unusual point that very few people have thought about going forward. It's a blessing. There'll be a lot more people here for money to be made. Hopefully Maryland has a great summer to make up for her lost months. But it's a very delicate thing that many of us have built here, and it's developed organically. And that could be disturbed by an influx of people because we fortunately escaped this while others suffered. It's quite an irony.
And at least we know that rock and roll fans make their pilgrimages to the Stone Pony, and that'll probably continue.
Sure.
We thank our guests. Sonny Augustine, senior pastor at the First United Methodist Church, Marilyn Schlossbach, owner of the Langosta Lounge and Pop's Garage Restaurants, and Dan Jacobson, publisher of the Tri-City News. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for having us.
And we go out with Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band from the 12-12-12 concert, singing Land of Hopes and Dreams. Here it is.
Grab your ticket and your suitcase. Thunder's rolling down this track. Well, you don't know where you're going now, but you know you won't be back. Well, darling, if you're weary, lay your head upon my chest.
And coming up next, a couple of follow-up Friday segments on things that came up briefly during the week and on internet addiction and drivers who choose not to have Easy Pass. Stay tuned.